Paul Goody.
Hey, Ben Lawrence. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Nah, all right. First off, battery check.
Just took
the batteries out of the charger and put them in.
Excellent.
So I'm good.
Hooray!
Yay! So, can I tell you a story really quick?
Well, I'll let you know at the end if it was really quick.
All right. So, you know, I have the Prius. That's the more recent car that I got.
Right.
All right. So I'm driving it around, and I'm going through a parking lot. And first of all, there's this thing called an air dam. It's like kind of underneath the bumper. It's a sort of plastic, black plastic thing.
Right.
And, you know, Priuses sit pretty low to the ground.
Right. So this is the black thing that often gets scraped on sidewalks.
In fact, that is exactly what happened. Got scraped on the sidewalk and sort of hanging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm driving through the parking lot and it hits the thing. And the car's been making noise like for like a month and a half or a month or so. And I figure it's this thing scraping, you know, the ground. Depending on how the road is,
yeah,
and all that, and so I hit this thing in the parking lot. It finally like is completely off, and just scraping on the ground as I'm driving through this parking lot. And so I do my business, get back into the car, and I realize, well, I should probably zip tie this thing up, right?
Yeah, you don't want it breaking off in the middle of the, or like coming off the car in the middle of the road, causing a distraction.
Right, exactly. And the other thing is, when I say I figure I should zip tie this up, I actually called the Prius dealership that I went to and said, "Hey, this is happening. What should I do?" And they said you should zip tie.
Alrighty.
And I happen to have another part of the story. I had all this random stuff in my old car that I moved into my new car, and I put it in the glove box. And some of this random stuff were some latex gloves and some zip ties and a knife. And I realized later on, all these things I decided to put in my glove compartment. So it's
all things that can be submitted into evidence.
It's exactly. So I'm like, yeah, I've got this zip tie, right? The zip tie is missing the little plastic doodad that actually locks it into place.
Yeah.
So it's just this loop, so I can't really do anything.
It's just the zip at that point.
Yes, exactly. No tie happening. No, not really even a zip. It's more of just a whoop, a smooth hole that you stick the end of the thing into. You know what? Here's the thing, Ben. I go into this auto place and I'm like, hey, and I don't really trust auto places that much, right? I say, hey, this thing's falling off my car. Do you have some zip ties that I can buy? And they just gave me the zip ties. So I zip tied it up and it was great.
Well, that was nice of them.
And yeah. And so I'm driving, and every once in a while, whenever I'm making like a right turn, I still hear it. So I figure like maybe a little bit still scraping. But the big deal is that every single like day that I get up and it's been colder than normal.
Right.
Like 65, whatever. The air pressure, my left front tire is down. And so I realize that I've got a slow leak in my tire. Right?
Yeah.
So I also got a raise at work.
Congratulations.
So I have I had a little extra money and I was like, I'm going to splurge and I'm going to do the thing you're supposed to do. I'm getting 4 new tires on my car.
Oh, how long have you had this car?
I have had it for, I don't know. Like 3 months, 4 months, something like that.
Oh, that's not too long.
The tires that came on the car.
Yeah. And, but it's not like it's not like you've been driving it for years and knowing that there were bad tires on it.
No. Nothing like that. So I'm like, I'm going to get new tires. So Betty and I go up to the tire place. And these are the guys who when I had a nut that got busted off on the old car, on the other car.
Wait, when you had a what?
The nut got cross-threaded at one point in time. I don't know what you call it. The lug nuts?
Yeah.
The bolt?
Okay.
Something got cross-threaded. Broke off.
Okay.
And we got an estimate of like $300 from one place. And we called this other place. I'm not going to say their name, but we called this other place. And it was like, that'd be $300 with a new tire if you want us to do that. And we were like, yes, please. So this is our place, right? And I'm like, okay, next time I get new tires, I'm going to get them put on. And I realized that in order for this story to work, it has to be translated to Seattle money.
Seattle money. Okay.
So how much would four new, brand new tires cost for you to put on a car?
Oh, I've done this before, and I want to say that it's I buy cheap tires, right? I don't have very expensive cars. And I think the last time I put four new tires on my car, I also got like the extended warranty, which you should always get. I think I paid about between $100 and $150 per tire.
Okay. So that's pretty much what I paid.
Okay.
So maybe tires are like a universal thing.
Well,
so we're talking,
I don't know,
around $500 total.
That sounds right. But you know, like I said, like I just bought the standard lowest cost tire that'll fit.
Me too.
The car.
Me too. Yep. So about $500. Yeah. And so they're putting those on, and Betty and I decide we're going to go walking around Main Street on Edwardsville. And we go through every store, and every store that I go into, I buy like a little something.
Just
to, you know.
As a thank you to the store for letting you visit?
Yeah, to patronize, you know, shop local. All that. It's all stuff that I need, kind of. You know, but we get to the end, and we get in, and they say, all right, so it's, you know, that's this much for your tires, but we weren't able to do the alignment check. Now
they weren't able to?
And this is why they said, you know, we weren't able to do the alignment thing because we weren't able to deal with the fact that you have a bearing that's jammed in. I don't know exactly how it's a bearing of some kind, like ball bearings in the tire got jammed. Does that sound familiar?
I don't know. No? Like nothing's wrong with the tire, but because they replace the tires, right? But there's probably something in the wheel.
Right. Exactly. It's inside the wheel
that is preventing them from doing that, but it's not preventing the wheel from turning. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not a mechanic, so I have no idea.
Exactly. So once I describe the problem, you'll understand what's going on, I think. Okay. So I, and you know, this is news to me, obviously.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, so we weren't able to do the alignment. And I'm like, okay, but you're charging me the same amount of money. And they're like, well, no, I mean, that thing's free. We just weren't able to do it because of this problem. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So I pay them the money, and I'm like, just out of curiosity, this thing, is it something I need to take care of right away? And they're like, well, you know, no, you say you didn't notice anything. I'm like, no, I haven't noticed anything. They're like, okay, well, yeah, you'll hear a sound, and you know, that's, you know, the next thing that'll happen is you'll actually feel vibration when you're driving. And I'm like, okay, and how long can that go? They're like, well, you know, it depends. But the big thing you don't want to do is wait until the tire falls off. And I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. So I'm leaving. And as I'm leaving, you know, I'm turning out of the place. And I hear the sound that up until this time I thought was the air dam scraping on the ground.
Mm.
And I realize this sound is always happening when I turn right, which coincidentally is the tire that they say that this bearing is bad on. And all of a sudden I realize he said that you know, I don't have to start worrying until I hear that sound.
Hmm.
And I've been hearing that sound for like a month and a half. So I go in again and I go, okay, well, you know, how much is this thing? And he gives me a price that's about the same price as all four tires. Now, if you remember, yeah. I was getting these tires because I got this extra money and, oh, hey, I'm going to splurge and all that.
Right.
All of a sudden now, getting this thing fixed, it's going into my savings, that's, basically.
Welcome to car ownership, dude.
Yeah, right? So I'm like, oh, all right. So I make the appointment to take it in, and I go up, drop the car off, drive the other car to work, and they call me today. They say, hey, it's ready to get picked up. So I drive the car home, walk up to the place, and I'm checking out, and the amount, because they said, you know, it'll be this much with tax.
Right.
Like $470, let's say.
Yeah.
But also tax. And the bill is $550.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that how much the tax is? And they're like, no, we also did your alignment. And I said, okay, wait a second.
The free alignment? Something, you charged me $50 for a free alignment?
Something happened because... I asked if you were taking off money for the 4.7 or for the tires, and you said no because the alignment was free, but all of a sudden now the alignment costs money, and they're like, okay, no. We couldn't do the alignment check because the bearing was bad. But after we put the thing in, we had to do an alignment.
To make
because
sure
then we checked the alignment and it was bad.
Oh, I see.
And they
so
took
it's a I'm getting it. It's a free alignment check, not a free alignment. So they'll
right,
look at
exactly.
your car and be like, "Oh yeah, you got to pay $50 or $150 for an
yes.
alignment." Gotcha.
Exactly. And I was like, "Okay, all right, fine, I get it. All right, 100%." Now I'm not going to say their names simply because. I'm still on the fence as to whether or not I got, like, hosed on this or not.
You know what, though? Like, I've been dealing with car repairs since I was, like, 22,
yeah.
right? 22 is
yeah.
when I started, like, driving a car full-time without my parents' assistance, you know?
Yeah.
And you just, unless you're willing to do the work yourself, you kind of have to assume that you're getting, that you're getting fleeced. And not. I'm not saying that all car mechanics are bad people, and I'm not saying that you're getting overcharged on everything. I've actually worked in the car industry. You know, I worked
yeah.
at a Cadillac dealership where I had to deal with people complaining about the cost of their repairs. Stuff is just overpriced, and the mechanics charge a lot. You know, you have to. It's a, because it's a skill that you need, right? It's a trade. That
right.
you're happy it's there.
And that's the thing. And this is the point that I was going to make. The only reason why this seems expensive is because people don't value mechanics as much as they value, say, doctors.
And I would actually kind of put money on the fact that auto mechanics is a dying trade. Because
yeah.
because kids today aren't told go to trade schools. Kids today are told either you go to college or you learn to code and get a job.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because this 20-year-old, he's over 20 now, this guy I know from work, he was saying that in his opinion, trade school is something that should come back.
Yeah.
We should do it.
Absolutely.
And here's the thing. You can't outsource trade stuff. People have to actually be there at your house. That kind of thing. Here's another thing. Printed buildings. Are you familiar with this?
I'm all too familiar with it.
Because I think you and I talked about it at one point in time. Basically, they've been trying this as an idea, and it's nowhere near ready yet. But the concept is, of course, you have your ground gets prepared, and then you have this sort of I'm saying like a metal hoop, but it's not a hoop; it's more of a square on these tracks, and it actually 3D prints your building out of cement.
Yeah, I've seen this.
That's the concept,
and It's actually a really interesting concept because the 3D printer is... You would think a 3D printer needed to print a building would be huge, but it's actually a pretty simple mechanism. It's like a life-size Etch-a-Sketch. A life-size computerized Etch-a-Sketch, and it's got a cement nozzle on the head, and it just it traces the building over and over and over. So
yeah, exactly.
You get your cement walls. Now you still, like you said, have to put the foundation down. You still have to put glass in it. You still have to put a roof over. You can't 3D print a roof yet. Although I'm sure that's coming. But it's really pretty fascinating. And I know of a couple companies actually that are going to 3D print a bunch of houses in Latin America for the for the homeless.
Yeah, and now this is actually an interesting thing. This is sort of full circle. Remember how I was saying that all the new tech ideas are basically, hey, let's take something that already exists, but make it so that you don't have to deal with poor people?
Right.
In the same way, this 3D printer thing is like, hey, we're going to allow you to 3D print a building. You don't have to deal with construction workers anymore.
Right. That's not necessarily true, but yeah, you don't have to deal with as many construction people.
As many, that's right. And of course, from my old job, way, way, way back when, doing electrical, low-volt electrical work as an apprentice, dealing with a lot of construction workers, I can understand the concept because, and this goes back to the people who put on the brakes and everything like that, the people being there is costing you money.
Yeah.
And them working versus them eating lunch versus them doing... Like, anytime you look at some... If you're a business person, anytime you look at somebody there, you're looking at money. Dollars just ticking off. And so the concept that, oh, I'm going to pay this amount and I don't have to have as many people... is saving, you know, I get it, right?
There's going to be a time, it's not here yet, and it's pretty far away, but I think we're heading in this direction, where you will no longer need auto mechanics. You drive your car into the bay, the robot plugs into the car, it knows exactly what needs to be wrong, and it fixes your car. And that's it.
There will be auto mechanics... but they're going to be like the people that fix the screen on your iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
auto technicians. Although I think mechanics these days like to be called technicians. That's what,
what the mechanics
like to be called when I was working in the industry, but it's going to be more like, they're going to be coders. They're not going to get their hands greasy. You know, you're not going to have the giant sinks in the break room with the orange rock salt, with the orange soap, grainy soap to clean their hands.
The reason I mention it, though, is because I think that there will be those guys still, and it's going to be like this. It'll cost you $500 for, you know, the robot to fix your car. But there's a guy who's got a kiosk in the strip mall. You drive your car there.
Yeah.
He'll take it apart manually and fix it for you. It'll work pretty much like it did before. You know, that kind
but also,
of... It's going to be...
Yeah. Here's the thing. When the robot fixes it for you, we'll have the car back to you in about an hour, you know?
Yeah.
But when the guy in the kiosk at the mall fixes it for you, that's going to take a week.
Yeah.
But
and again, you know,
it's not going to be as expensive.
You're gonna be like, or ooh, wait, I've got it, Ben.
What's that?
There's something the robot won't fix because it's going to cost too much. It's easier for you just to. Well, you're going to have to get a whole new car.
Actually, I've come up with it.
Okay.
The robot will fix your car, but the mechanic will jailbreak your car.
So you can
actually exceed the speed limit. So you can go on forbidden roads.
Yes. 100% yes. And because I think I mentioned this to you before. I'm not positive I did. How I think time is going to change.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that I was thinking about. What's the next revolution in time? We've talked about this, I think, a little bit. There was a time when the church was sort of the main time. And then the railway came. And it became the timekeeper.
Yeah.
And then cell phones came, and they are the things that are keeping the time. The next thing I think, the next revolution in time, is going to be just like how we're kind of siloed now, and everybody's got their own little bubble.
Okay.
Relative time. You've still got your watch, and it'll still tell you that it's 10 o'clock and all that kind of stuff, but you're also going to have, just like you have a timer and all that, you're going to have an ETA clock that's going to tell you when the next thing you're supposed to be doing is going to happen.
Yeah.
And that is going to be able to shift a little bit. So, for instance, let's say it's me calling you, right?
Yeah.
We have the ETA clock, and we both are counting down to the same, oh, Ben, it's an app. It's an app. It's called Sync. S-Y-N-C. Or S-Y-N-K. Why not?
Why not?
And you and I make a deal that we're going to meet somewhere at a certain time.
Okay.
And then, so then we're counting down to it. And I can send you an alert. It says, Paul Goody wants to add 5 minutes to the sync time. Agree? Yes. Boom. We both have that sort of thing. So you know when somebody's running late, but also you have the same time that you're working towards. Right? So, for instance, let's say, and Sync can adjust like this. Let's say that I'm going to visit you at your house.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I can opt in for my GPS to speak to our Sync time, right? So there's no agreed upon time. It's just that you're getting a countdown of how much longer it's going to take me to get to your house if I continue my original speed and all that. So you can always check and see what you're not seeing my location, right? You don't have eyes on that. You just have eyes on the time that it's going to take. I think it would be pretty cool.
You have 5.5 minutes until Paul Goody shows up at your door. Use that time wisely.
Exactly. Your package will be here at, you know, this time or whatever.
Oh, and yes. And what? Go on. I was going to completely change the subject.
And even more interesting, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is tough. But instead of hours, right, it's measuring it in actual space. So as it gets closer, the numbers count down. So you're not an incremental thing. You know, time is evenly distributed.
Yeah.
But this sync number can adjust.
I don't know. That sounds too much like a progress bar, and watching a progress bar
is hate
frustrating.
It. Yeah, yeah, real life progress bar. Oh my God, Ben, here's the thing. Even though it sucks, you may be able to sell it by doing that. Real life progress bars.
Yeah.
Ben, I'm serious. Someone's going to come up with that. Might as well be us. Give it to Steven. Let him, you know.
All right.
Sell it to somebody.
He listens, so Steven, get on it.
Steven, you can. If you like can that do idea. That. Yeah. People will hate it. They'll hate it, which means that companies will make it mandatory right. for their employees.
I ordered something recently. I can't remember if I ordered it from Amazon specifically or through Amazon, but I was able to see its location on the truck, and I'd never seen this before. I don't really care.
Oh, man.
I don't really care when things show up at my apartment if I don't need them immediately. But I I care if I'm give I care about being given an accurate day, right? And I'm like, it doesn't need to show up by 10 a.m. You know, as long as it's there by the time I get home from work and I can pick it up.
Yes.
But for something, I can't, don't even remember what it was. It might have been like a hard drive or something that I ordered. I just went to, okay, yes, it was Amazon, now that I'm remembering it. I went to Amazon as I tracked my package, and I saw a map, and I saw a little dot that was down the street from my house. Now, I don't know if it was a real-time dot, because I never saw it move, but there was like, the truck is at the end of your street. I'm like, hooray, the truck's at the end of my street. Now, that could mean I'm getting my thing in 5 minutes because the truck is almost at my apartment, or that could mean I'm still getting my thing at the end of the day because the truck is at the end of the street servicing this other apartment complex, and it's not even going to come to mind for the, you know, until 5 p.m. But I thought that was pretty nifty.
The one thing I'm thinking about this, I have had this happen to me once. People that I have heard talking about this that live in big cities have it happened to them more than once. You are at home and you've been at home the entire time. You leave your house and sitting there on your door is a sticky saying that the package was attempted to be delivered.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Now, I do not like hearsay, but I'm going to mention this hearsay because I think it's important and I like it. They claim that what happens is the drivers get behind on their deliveries, so they just run up with the sticky, put it on the door, and then drive off.
Who'd you hear that from?
People. Complaining.
Well, yeah. I don't know
now,
that part.
Here's my suggestion. I think that it was one of those cases where I took hyperbole to be them saying that that's actually what happens.
Yeah.
You know, that's like when you go to somebody's door and you knock and they're on the phone and then you come back. This is in a work situation and they're gone out of their office.
Yeah.
And you wonder, what happened? Did they jump out the window? You're not saying that they actually jumped out the window. In the same way, it may be that the driver didn't actually just run up there with a sticky and put it on. And when I said people, Ben, these are, again, I try not to talk about work that much. People at work complaining about things.
That's never happened to me where I've just seen the sticky on the door where I know that I was home in front of the door. It's always possible that I just didn't hear the knock or whatever, but I have seen, and this isn't for me personally, but I have seen delivery drivers walk up with the package. They did have the package. They knocked twice, waited 10 seconds, put the sticky on the door, and then left. So they don't give you a lot of time.
Ah, okay. Well, that's possible. The other thing, and I remember this used to happen when I worked at Amazon. I'm not saying that it happens now, but at the time that I was working there, it did. People would call and they'd look for their package.
Yeah.
And we'd see that they left a note saying left under grill, for example.
Okay.
And then we'd go, hey, do you have a grill in like your backyard or something? Yes, go and look under the grill, and their package will be there. And I guess maybe it was raining or something, and they... It's like the weirdest magic trick ever.
Yeah.
I get... But yeah, so I'm not saying it's worth it. I'm just saying, you know... It's an interesting idea to be able to see that the truck is by your street because you can get ready... Okay, you could even wait outside your door with your arms crossed.
Right. Well, I mean that's why Amazon has that service where they will sell you a door lock where one of their delivery drivers can actually come into your house and drop off your package.
What?
Have you not heard of that?
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, Ben, this is the first time. You have to remember, I'm away from the news. All something right.
So
fierce at this
is,
point.
I don't know if this is has gone on sale yet or has been implemented or if the Consumer Protection Bureau has told Amazon not to do this. But
yeah.
they were offering a product where they will install your front door lock, right?
Mm.
And it's basically like either a keypad or like a card or something, or you have like instead of a physical key, you have a key fob, like your like your car. And the thing is, the Amazon delivery people have. They can open your door. They have access to your front door. And so now I don't think this applies to UPS or FedEx or USPS delivery. I think it's only Amazon delivery people.
Okay, so let's back up for just a second. There are delivery people who are just from Amazon?
I guess so. I mean, I haven't seen any... you know, trucks that just say Amazon on them. But
I mean, that
I guess that's a thing where the delivery person is hired by Amazon.com.
That's something that Amazon could, you know, probably, you know how they have the cloud and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Think about this. Delivery drivers who not only work on Saturday, also work on Sunday, work on, you know, Amazon could do it. Could make their own delivery, folks. Yeah. That makes sense.
So anyway, so that's
not everywhere, of course.
That's the product that where they have access to your house and they will deliver your package just inside your front door.
Makes me feel a little nervous, and but I'm sure lots of people would do it.
I think they also sell a camera system that's focused towards your front door, so you can watch them. Like you'll get a notification. That
would make sense.
That, hey, your package is going to be delivered in, like, 2 minutes. So look at your webcam and look at our delivery driver. Just quietly step inside, put your package down, and then close the door and leave without stealing anything.
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a thing.
That's the thing is that their drivers would have to be bonded then, I'm guessing. Probably.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that, being bonded?
Licensed and bonded. You see
What's that?
You see that on all the independent contractor trucks. I don't really know what it means. I think it's an insurance thing.
From what I understand, it's like theft insurance. Like if something like super valuable goes missing in your house.
Yeah.
So like a house cleaner has it.
Okay.
For example, janitorial staff.
Yeah.
If something happens, they've got insurance that'll cover it. Even if, you know... like you don't have to prove necessarily to the police, but I'm sure there's like a insurance auditing kind of thing that happens.
Right. Yeah. For
it.
My brother-in-law had a landscaping business for a long time, and I don't know if he had to or if he just did print his license number on the side of his truck. And I think it said licensed and bonded. Maybe it said licensed, bonded, and insured, but that seems kind of wordy. And then, like, you know, a long license number. And I don't know if that's a requirement for independent contractors like that or if it's just good business so people trust you.
Yeah. Wasn't there some sort of a theater idea that we had, but we couldn't do it because of the insurance?
I'm sure there's a lot
wouldn't
of
work for
theater,
it.
Like you and me specifically, or for us as like annex?
Just in general, just anybody.
Oh.
Because, again, when you come here, which is coming up pretty soon.
It's soon, yeah. I mean, we can talk logistics offline if you want, but yeah, I'm going to be out there in just a couple weeks.
Yeah. When you're here, we can go to City Museum, or as I like to call it, how much is their insurance? Because it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
The amount of... like, there are places I'm not going to be able to go because I'm not the weight that I was the last time I went. and I'm a little bit nervous about it. I'm at about 190 now.
Okay.
Pretty close. 195. The being pretty much vegan. That's what I'm calling it. Pretty much
pretty
vegan.
Pretty much vegan.
Being pretty much vegan, pretty good. A guy brought donuts today at work, and I had a donut.
Well, nobody can blame me for that. I've been actually trying to stay off of refined sugar myself because I visited a nutritionist, and she said don't eat all the things that you want to eat. But I was at a thing this weekend where the breakfast was provided, and it was basically coffee and donuts. So I had a donut each day.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is a one-time thing. That's our problem, Ben. And by our problem, I mean modern humans. One-time things, really big treats and everything like that, have become commonplace.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the basic thing I was going to say, with all of this stuff, you might ask yourself, well, why didn't I just wait? And we're going all the way back to the beginning of the conversation, because I forgot to add this. Why don't I just wait on the brake thing? You know, because I've got this other older car. Why don't I just wait, get the other thing fixed when I had the money to do it?
And just like drive the older car in the meantime?
Yes. The older car needs to get emissions test and new tabs. So I didn't want to drive that one.
Are the tabs expired on the older car?
They will be.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
On the 31st.
Ah.
And I think I have a month later, but that stuff should cost less. So this is what I was thinking. Right now, at that very moment, I had the money to do it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it when I had the money rather than try to do it.
Right.
You know, what happens if another thing befalls me? So
you got to have rainy day fund.
It's all working out so far.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know how much tabs cost out in the Midwest. emissions tests here.
Yeah.
The last time I got an emissions test, it was like $20.
Yeah, emissions tests aren't that
it's
much.
It's more just a but pain in the butt thing. waiting in line.
The reason I laughed like that is because I got my tabs twice here. I don't remember how much they are, but the first time I was like, well, that's really not that expensive. And the second time was, wow, that's more expensive than I thought it was going to be. Huh. But I think it was the same price both times.
Yeah.
I want to say $120, something like that, for the tabs.
Yeah, that's...
But again, it might be $100. It might be $20. It might be $120.
Yeah.
And I don't remember which. So
it's funny because
the other reason. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I just expect things to be so much less expensive out there than they are over here.
Oh, they are.
But
they are normally.
$120. That's about what my tabs cost.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that the government of Illinois is going bankrupt. So all the.
Well,
the consumer goods, or maybe they have, I don't remember.
Your last, like, four governors are doing jail time, aren't they?
Something like that. I know that the lottery can't pay out, or at least it's at one point in time it couldn't.
Oh, jeez.
Here's another crazy thing about Illinois versus Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay, they have things out here called gun auctions, right? Where you, they have a gun for auction.
Yeah.
And you put in money, you can win this gun. The Missouri gun auctions are more popular than Illinois gun auctions. Because in Missouri, you don't have to have anything. You can just have a gun, carry it around. I might be being a little bit wrong with this, but I'm pretty sure there's no concealed carry laws.
So
I don't think you need a license to own a gun.
Right. So,
but in Illinois, it's really strict.
So Missouri, anybody can just legally buy a gun. You don't have to be of a certain age. You don't have to.
I think you have to be. You know,
a license.
That's the thing is, I think you have to be a certain age. I don't think you need a license. I'm pretty sure you don't, but I'm not positive. I know that you don't need a special license to carry a concealed weapon in Missouri like you do in Illinois, but I don't know if you need a regular gun owner's license or not.
Is there now, I know we've talked about the gun differences between Illinois and Missouri as well before, but is Missouri and or Illinois an open carry state? I'm assuming Missouri is. If it's pretty lax, you can just have your gun out in the open.
I don't. Like, yeah, holster. I'm sure Missouri, you could. I like to think that in Missouri, you could do basically anything you want to with a gun. I don't know if it's true or not, but Illinois, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think for sure in Chicago, I bet you it's not.
No, I think
Chicago, you can't have handguns. I believe.
Yeah, a lot of my right wing quote friends end quote on Facebook like to point out Chicago as how gun regulations don't work, because Chicago has really strict gun regulations, but there's a lot of murders.
I have two things to say to that. One is yes, there are. Number two, and this is what people in Chicago talk about all the time. You know what's what Chicago isn't?
Yeah.
Chicago isn't inaccessible by car. You can drive from another place to Chicago.
Are you telling me the people outside of Chicago are just coming into the city? Just willy-nilly?
Let that happen? Yeah, they could just drive right in. And they can have guns with them, and
they don't have to go through a checkpoint where they have to check their guns at the border of Chicago.
There's no wall. There's no checkpoint. There's no none of that stuff. So
what kind of a backwoods city is this?
Yeah. So this is what only criminals will have guns. Yes.
Yeah.
Because having a gun will make it. This is the thing. This is the thing that people sometimes forget.
Are we going to solve gun violence on this show? Is that where we're going?
No, I'm not. But when cigarettes became illegal, right, to smoke indoors.
Right.
If I said, if you make it illegal to smoke cigarettes indoors, only criminals will smoke cigarette indoors. Yes. Because that's the because you have become a criminal at that point. The same thing, if you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns. Yes.
Well, yeah.
You will be breaking the law if you have one at that point.
Yeah. And it's from what I understand, and I've not looked into this too deeply, but from what I understand, it's a fundamental misdirection of what they want to, what gun. Strict gun regulation advocates want to have happen. They don't want to take guns away. They want to make it harder for people to get them.
Well, and that's the thing, is I think that here, it's just like anything, right? There are some people that absolutely don't want anyone to have guns.
Yeah.
There are some people who just want it to be harder to get them, and all those people are working together at this point.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the thing that I think is important to realize. People who want to have guns that are against gun control, by and large, are okay with gun control as long as they can still have whatever guns they want.
Right.
I know that sounds weird, but what I mean by that is that if you want to, for instance, make it so that you can't own a gun if you're deemed mentally unfit. As long as they're sure that they are going to be declared mentally fit, they're fine with it.
Yeah.
In general.
But nobody ever asks for rational discourse when it comes to Second Amendment rights.
Well, yeah.
It's all this side fomenting hatred towards the other side and vice versa.
And the big thing for me is I can usually have pretty good conversations with folks who have guns out here, because my general point whenever I talk to them about it is I don't own guns, so I can't really you know, say anything about how they're regulated personally. They seemed okay with that, except that there's a couple of people who I've had this talk with who have said this. And this is when I say this is back when I was on the internet, which I'm not doing anymore, as far as that goes. What they would say is, so what you're telling me is that your home is unprotected and everyone should go and try to take your things now. And I'm like, no, that is not what I'm saying. This idea that people should break into my house because I don't have a gun is crazy.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm nuts. I'll bite your face off. That's just for people who are thinking, hey, yeah, I should. That's the thing is that, and this goes with pretty much every member of my family. We are pleasant unless cornered and then become stupid and, you know, dangerous, probably. I would say, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. That's all I'm saying.
The most.
I'm not saying I'm a badass. I'm saying that I am unstable in high stress situations.
Well, we
maybe everything will go fine for you. Who knows?
I'm sure everything will go fine. Yeah, you know, I'll tell you this. I'm not gonna try to break into your house and try to steal your things.
Thank you, Ben.
But the I've never really understood the argument where people own guns because it's protection for their family. Because these are the same people who say, "Oh yeah, but I keep my guns in a locked case."
Well, okay, see, so this is the thing,
but
right?
But the final thing is, the most safe and yet the most endangered I ever felt was when I shared an apartment with a dude who slept with a loaded gun on his nightstand. I'm like, yeah, if somebody tried to break into the house, this guy's ready. But also, if he thinks I'm breaking into the apartment, I might get in trouble.
Ben, when was this? Can you give me a general time frame?
This was my early days of Annex. It's nobody you knew. Nobody you know.
But where were you living?
It was in North Seattle.
Okay.
The Lake City area. And when I moved in and he's like, "Yeah, dude, I sleep with a pistol on my nightstand." I'm like, "Well, are you going to think that when I come home late at night that I'm breaking into the apartment?" And he's like, "Nah, dude, because you're going to have keys."
Yeah. So I would say this.
I made it 6 months in that
about
apartment.
That. It's like general computer security. The safest computer system is one with absolutely no users and no access whatsoever.
Yeah.
The easiest to use computer system normally is one with no protection whatsoever. You don't have to have a username and password. Just go there, do whatever you want. And everyone tries to live within sort of a happy medium. So, you have your guns. They're away in a locked case. When will your guns be useful? Well, you know, first of all, I'm sure that there are people who time how often they, you know, how fast they can get their gun out of their case and that kind of thing. But also, there's the standard, if somebody's on your front porch saying, "I'm calling you out," yeah, you got time to get your gun then. If somebody breaks in, that's a totally different story. Probably one person goes after someone with a bat or whatever, while the other person goes gets the gun, I'm guessing.
I think.
You know, or you have it on the nightstand, in which case it's very dangerous for...
Yeah.
You know,
we have more children shooting each other and themselves than we have people who've successfully protected their family from an intruder. I made that up, but I'm assuming it's true.
The biggest reason I've never owned a gun.
You might use it on yourself.
Well, no, although that's a good point. It's more like I know how I am about getting my oil changed, things like that. The chances that I would regularly clean the gun as much as you're supposed to are slim to none.
Right.
So, yeah. And also, again, what am I going to use it for?
You got to practice good gun making. Well, going to the range and relieving some stress. Squeezing a couple off.
Or, you know, as much as I do say, you know, I'm crazy, bite your face off, whatever, what are the chances that I'll simply hand the gun to the person who's broken in and go, here, I don't want any trouble, I hate conflict, you might as well have this.
If I had to judge on my, the way I play gun-based video games, even if I was I have a gun in the house to protect my family kind of person, and I get woken up in the middle of the night, and I hear a noise, and I go, and I unlock the case, and I get my gun, and it's dark, I'm not going to have perfect aim. I'm not a very good marksman.
True. Actually, that's the thing. If I, and everyone who's listening, I will say this. As of right now, I do not own any weapons. I am not a great shot. If this podcast comes to bear after some great strange event and all that, just so you know, I'm speaking about video games here.
Okay.
I like sniper rifles. That's my being in a location where I'm hidden away and I'm just shooting people from very far away is how I like to play on video games.
I saw a really interesting video. It wasn't about video games, but it was how a sniper uses his or her scope. And
they don't put their eye right up to it.
Well, it's not so much that it's how they aim inside the scope. They use the little hash marks in relation to how far the target is away from them and how the wind is blowing.
Yep.
And it was really fascinating.
Because there's drift.
Because this guy was a or gal. I'm assuming it's a dude, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't want to be that guy or that gal.
Yeah.
But he was a really good shot. He was a really good shot.
Hey, yeah, I don't want to be that guy. That's really sexist. Oh, I did. Speaking of really sexist, ladies and gentlemen of the podcast listening audience.
I am but a simple country lawyer.
I hope that you have the same sense of what I'm about to do as I did and the people around me, my wife and my daughter, did when I said this to the person. My friend Andy was talking about speaking to a doctor.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, what did he say? To which Andy replied, what did she say? To which I then said, no, I'm talking about the doctor. Which I thought was hilarious. And he thought was hilarious. And my wife and daughter thought it was pretty funny.
Right. But that's not going to fly in a lot of circles.
But it was only because it was the only way that I could deal with the fact that I made that mistake,
right,
was to make it even more and on purpose.
Right.
It's like, but, you dig yourself in deeper and you might strike oil.
I'm going to come to your defense and probably be a little bit ignorant here, but I'm going to say it's okay to assume a guy has a male doctor and a lady has a female doctor.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I, in general, opt for a female doctor.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a weird thing, but it's mostly because of that joke that I support. God, this sounds so dumb, but I feel like there should be more women doctors, and so by going to one, I'm breaking that stereotype of it being a male profession.
Yeah.
I know that sounds dumb, but it's true. But doctors know about people in general.
No,
I have
I'm not saying female doctors are less qualified than male doctors. I'm saying people have a propensity to feel more comfortable around, you know, their own gender when it comes to really intimate things like physical checkups.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. I feel the opposite.
I'm not saying you feel that way. I'm saying that is what
now
society has led everybody to believe. Guys should have guy doctors and ladies should have female doctors. That is how...
As I get older, right?
Yeah.
Getting a male doctor might be better, but going to an older male doctor, it just seems like too on the nose as far as patriarchy goes.
Something's a little too perfect here.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, old smart guy, tell me what I should be doing with my body. Just seems weird. That's all.
I didn't.
Whereas,
I went to the doctor for the first time in quite a number of years recently, and I didn't even get to get a chance to select my doctor. One was selected for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm on Obamacare, right? And
oh yeah,
I had to sign up for a new plan. For like the fourth time, because the insurance companies that I select keep getting out of the marketplace for the Affordable Care Act. So I signed up for a new insurance company and they sent me like a welcome packet and they're like, oh, by the way, here's your doctor. If you want to,
in some ways, that's actually kind of nice.
If you want to pick a new one, then, you know, make sure that your new doctor is in our plan. And, but I didn't have a doctor. The last doctor that I went to, I actually called up and asked if they were on this insurance plan I'm on, and they weren't accepting new patients, even though I was a patient of theirs 15
right,
years ago.
Because now you'd be a new patient.
Now I would be a new patient. So I went to the doctor that they assigned to me, and he was they have two doctors at this clinic, a male and a female, and they gave me the male doctor because I'm a male. But
yeah.
the weird thing was, he was younger than I was.
Yeah. See, now,
and
now
that was
not
a bit of a
bad
trip.
Thing. Yeah, I would be okay. See, I'm 45 years old. There are plenty of doctors who are younger than me now.
Yeah.
And I might be a younger male doctor. I think that would be, because then every medical complaint feels a little bit like you're doing a prank on them. I got this problem. You know what I mean? Like,
you're fresh out of med school.
You're the older guy. Yeah.
Does this look irritated to you?
Oh my god.
But the thing about the thing about seeing this male doctor of mine, he had a med student following him, who was female. So I had in the room at all times. I had both the male doctor and the female med student.
And so, yeah, you've got sort of the best of both worlds covered there as far as being embarrassed
by
anything goes.
You know, I got to say, part of me felt slightly uncomfortable talking about such intimate things in mixed company, but I just had to get over the fact that I'm just a rando face that they're going to see out of 30 rando faces they see this day, and everybody is the same. Everybody's different, of course, but, you know,
right.
Functionally, we all are the same, and so...
Huh, interesting. Everybody's the same, eh, comrade? That sounds... No. So the big thing for me, I use this all the time as an example, the cops.
Yeah.
When the cops show up to your house, it's, oh my god, the cops are here.
Yeah.
When the cops show up to your house, they're like, it's another house. We're still the cops.
Right.
I'm the cops. I'm still the cops. I've been the cops yesterday, today, 8 hours a day. So every single time they show up, it's one of the more significant points of somebody's life.
Yeah.
Except for the people that they see all the time. And they're just like, oh, the cops are here again.
The shirtless white drunk dude screaming in front of his trailer park.
Exactly. Which is, you know, pretty... I mean, you can... you. It's not that far away from where I live, but you can't see it from here. When we were... when I was working at the theater way, way, way back when, we were next to a trailer park. And... look, stereotypes come from somewhere. There were people who would change their baby in the movie theater and just leave the wrapped up diaper underneath the seat, which is like, oh, thank you very much.
Jesus.
We had a standard thing when we when you come to get a refill on your soda, we're supposed to dump it out. Dump out the old soda, put in the ice, and get you your brand new soda.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I learned right away, like pretty much the first or second night, to go, it's okay if I dump this out, get you new soda, because a large majority of people had spiked it with something and would be pissed as hell when you dumped it out. And then you'd ask them what they're so mad about, and they wouldn't tell you. Because they thought you were the cops or whatever, right. and so I had to have somebody explain it to me. That they're not going to tell you why they're mad at you, but they're going to be
they're going to get mad at
pissed.
You.
Yes.
Anyway,
and hey, maybe they'll leave their baby's diaper in the. I just drew that connection. Finally, I get.
There you go. You.
That's probably what happened,
sir. You dumped out their fifth of Mickey's mixed with Diet Pepsi, and now, joke's on you.
But there was also this kid who would come in who would, like, carve his arm up and stuff like that. You know, just...
well, that young man just, needs help.
Yes. People who have problems.
Yeah.
That...
there I go. But, assuming that the kid who carved their arm up was a man.
He was, though.
Or a boy.
Speaking of kids... hey, Betty!
Oh, I thought we were going to get away from that this week.
No.
We've gone so far. No. We're already past an hour, Paul.
I know that we went over time, but we're still doing it.
And note to our affiliates down the line, we're going to be running long tonight. We apologize, and we'll get back to our regularly scheduled programs as soon as we can.
So, we're almost out of time, Betty. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Keep it wrong, Ben.
Seriously? Is that it?
Yeah.
All righty. Keep it wrong, Paul.
I tried my best. But she seemed, I'll tell you, this is what it was. She showed up with her headphones on, holding an iPad, sat down, said, and didn't really actually say anything, just looked at me and then looked down and started watching her thing again. And I'm like, okay, there we go.
All right. This good is happening enough. A lot more quickly than I expected, because I knew that at some point in Betty's life, she would grow to not like her appearances on the show, and it's happening.
Hey, look.
It's happening a lot more quickly than I expected.
It's not that she doesn't like it. It's that she could take it or leave it. There's a distinction to be drawn.
There's a gateway.
We're not forcing her to do anything.
It's a gateway emotion.
Exactly.
Indifference leads to ambivalence, leads to disinterest.
Let's try something really quick. Hey, Betty! This will be... this
not
be
buying
just
it.
A second. Yeah, now she's coming.
What?
Keep it wrong. Okay. She just walked off mad. Now she doesn't like it.
All right. Well, yeah. The way to accelerate that. Okay.
Hey, Betty, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
She'll listen to these in about 40 years.
I am thinking about that. Yeah. So sorry.
Yeah.
And you still like me after this, I believe. All right, Ben.
All right.
Keep it wrong,
cool.
My friend.
I'll keep it wrong, Paul. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.